I was recently sitting in on the thesis defense of one of my students whose project used rather sophisticated molecular biology techniques to better understand the signaling mechanisms of osteoclasts. As I listened to the presentation, I struggled to make sense of the molecular biology lingo and keep all the cytokines straight in my head. I couldn't help but be amazed at the progress we are making in understanding the mechanisms behind orthodontic tooth movement, but also to reflect on how this complexity makes it difficult for me as a clinician to understand. Shortly after that day, I saw an article in the June 2006 European Journal of Orthodontics that helped me to put this progress in understanding tooth movement into perspective. It is a comprehensive review article called "The Tissue, Cellular, and Molecular Regulation of Orthodontic Tooth Movement, 100 Years After Carl Sandsted." I've mentioned in the past about the difficulty in trying to review for you a review article, but my main objective is to stimulate you to read this entire article, nearly 20 pages of it, written by Professor Murray Michael. The story begins with Sandsted in the early 1900s. He moved incisors in dogs and observed the histologic response. He first described the appearance of hyalinization and undermining resorption on the compression side of teeth with high force levels. Oppenheim continued to improve our understanding of tooth movement through his work in the 1930s, and many of his observations and theories at the time supported the non-extraction techniques taught by Engel. In the middle of the century, Reitan improved our understanding of the responses to different types of forces and levels of force. He also looked at the remodeling of the PDL and the gingival fibers, which provided the basis for some of our retention techniques. Through the 1960s and 70s, experimental techniques improved, and more was learned about the cellular events occurring during tooth movement. Also during this time, renewed interest in bone bending as a part of the process occurred. The 1970s also brought better in vitro models of tooth movement with tissue cultures which could more precisely control pressure on cells and better measure the cellular reactions. Through these techniques, interest in prostaglandins, leukotrienes, and cyclic AMP was generated as possible signalers for the tooth movement process. In the last 20 years, the molecular biology techniques have allowed the identification of cytokines like interleukin, TNF, and osteoprotegrin as possible mediators of mechanically induced bone remodeling. After the review, the author concludes that we have made tremendous progress in the last 100 years in understanding tooth movement, especially at the tissue and cellular level. He also believes there is plenty of work left to do, primarily at the molecular level, to really understand the system so that we can control it in a clinically useful way. I would again recommend that each of you read this article so that you get a feel for where we are as a profession in understanding tooth movement, the underlying foundation for all that we do. The June 2006 issue of the European Journal of Orthodontics is the place to look.